You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
August the 22nd, 2022. We are live streaming at rumble.com. Remember, you can always subscribe at our position at rumble.com, and we will send it directly to you. No charge. We do not pass along your information to anyone else. And you can also get any prior podcast of any program you missed at larryconnorsusa.com, and you can subscribe there as well. So we can send you those podcasts on a daily basis. You don't miss anything. So Congressman Adam Schiff, Democrat, California, says, reference the terms of the raid on the FBI raid on the Trump Mar-a-Lago house. He said, I'm confident Merrick Garland took every precaution. Huh. Yep. So says Adam Schiffless, as Sean Hannity refers to him. And today, Judge Reinert did admit in a filing that the FBI raid on former Trump's home was unprecedented. Okay, big deal there. And he also officially rejected the Justice Department argument to keep the affidavit leading to the search under seal, citing the intense public and historical interest. But wait, before you start celebrating. The filing today is just restating what he did last week. And he says they are ordered to go through the affidavit, redact what they think is necessary to protect names, witnesses, or anything else that might be damaging to an investigation, and turn it over to him. And then he might be deciding to make more redactions. Or he could, but do not hold your breath. He could tell them, no, that cannot be redacted because it has no bearing on anything other than political efforts. But he himself is a political creature, so who knows what's going to happen. Speaking of political creatures, and this one I will tell you will not go quietly into the night. You will continue to hear him. Paid handsome prices by Big Pharma and any cable network that have put him on the air. Dr. Anthony Fauci announcing officially he's not going to wait until the end of Joe Biden's official term, which he said he was going to do back in July. Now he says, I'm leaving my position in December of this year to pursue the next chapter of my career, which will be raking in millions, as I said, from pharmaceutical companies. At the same time, Senator Rand Paul, Republican Kentucky, has already vowed to investigate Fauci if Republicans take the Senate majority. He said, if we win in November, if I'm chairman of a committee and I have subpoena power, we'll go after every one of Fauci's records. That, my friend, regardless of your political stripe, should be reason enough that you help the Senate be controlled by Republicans this next time around. Elementary schools and universities preparing for potential monkeypox outbreaks. The summer closing, autumn sessions coming in. Now, monkeypox, again, I will stress to you, is spread most exclusively among men who have sex with men. 14,000 confirmed cases in the U.S. But also, it spread to a dog that apparently was sleeping in the bed of a gay couple. And children can come in contact with either clothing, bedding, things of that nature. And then, of course, then they touch another child. It can certainly spread quicker among the populace that is not involved in sexual activity of any type. Brian Stelter had his final episode of Reliable Sources Sunday. Hooray, hooray, hooray. And I want you to hear some of that coming up before we wrap up this hour. You heard on the network news, Jackson Hole is coming together as a meeting place, obviously, from the Federal Reserve's July board meeting, and all these investors will be flying into Jackson Hole in their big jets, trying to decide how to keep the little people under control while you try to decide if you can afford the price of gasoline, and worried about climate control, as they say they are. They will be, just as I mentioned in the last hour, doing what Steven Spielberg does. He has his own Gulfstream, flew 116,000 miles since July, I should say, and during that time emitted probably 180 tons of carbon dioxide over the last 2 months even. And they tell you, you had to be worried about climate control. Right.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Your eyes are burning. You're sneezing. It's allergy season. Pollen readings are sky high. Heck, you can even see that yellow powder on everything. So that's also inside your air conditioning ducts. I suggest you call Wellington Environmental. Now, other companies will be glad to do the job, but they're going to come to your home or business, count the air ducts, and begin increasing the cost. In fact, the quoted price might even double. Wellington offers one price, no extras. You'll be charged exactly what Wellington quotes. So this is easy for you. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930. You will breathe easier. Wellington has a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
In terms of the precedent, I'm confident that Merrick Garland took every precaution, made every effort short of executing the search warrant to obtain those documents. And if the public reporting is correct that the Trump lawyers asserted in an affidavit that they'd given all these documents up and the Justice Department had good reason to believe that wasn't true, then it justifies this means of getting the information, the execution of a search warrant. So, yes, it's a very powerful precedent. At the same time, I'm confident that it was used appropriately, given the circumstances.
You know, when Adam Schiff is speaking, it's just like Dr. Fake. You can tell they're lying if their lips are moving. And I say that about Congressman Adam Schiff, Democrat of California, as he was on CNN saying about, I'm confident Merrick Garland did everything correct in the FBI raid of Trump's house. May I stress to you again, I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat, independent, if you're a Trump hater, do you want justice carried out properly in this nation? Or you want to blame Trump for Capitol 6, January 6th, where there's still no smoking gun, because if there were, it would have been shoved in your face repeatedly. Oh, well, Larry, they're waiting to hold it and release it just before the midterm election. They could do that, but I don't think they've got anything, and they're not going to find anything, but they are going to drag it out to try to muddle up the 2022 midterm election. So you don't want anybody who believes America can be better. NBC had a poll that showed something like 27% of Americans that were surveyed think America is no longer that great. Now, of course, some of them probably thought so to begin with, but 27% thinking the best of America is behind us. So probably among that 27, there weren't that many that already hated America and didn't like it, because they would therefore, if they're saying the best is behind us, and they would accept things that today they would turn their back on. Which reminds me, I had not had a chance to see it directly, and the reason I'm going down this road in more detail is because until we see the full affidavit that supported the FBI raid and Merrick Garland's decision, then I'm not going to be satisfied. Will you? If you'll be satisfied, okay, they got you. You're good. You're good. You're gonna take whatever they cut out and say, this is everything. You don't need to know anything else. Much like Hillary Clinton and her attorneys told the Department of Justice out of the 60,000 emails on her server, which even the FBI Director Comey admitted at the time was handling classified intel improperly and wrong, but would probably never find a no prosecutor would reasonably prosecute. Well, of course not. Not if it's Hillary. But what you're going to end up doing is just accepting the fact that whatever's blacked out, you don't need to know. It has no bearing on why they actually went in. I don't settle for anything less than full disclosure. And A.G. Garland the other day came out and said, we're going to have full transparency, and normally we never discuss such cases, but because of the public interest, then I am going to say that we're going to work to make things and then he turns right around and has members of his own Department of Justice legal team file action to block the affidavit from being publicized. Does that tell you full disclosure, full transparency, that we've been told the Biden administration and Merrick Garland said we will have on anything and everything? It tells you what they say versus what they do. So Judge Reinhart today down in Florida, in a filing, admitted the raid on Trump's home was, quote, unprecedented. All right. That doesn't really mean that much. And he did say he rejected the Justice Department argument to keep the affidavit leading to the search order, which, as I told you from the beginning, was critical. I want to see the search warrant, obviously. I could care less if I see the cover page. I don't think there's anything pertinent upon that. I want to see the receipt of what they took, and that's still been very vague. They've given us what they want us to see, claiming that some files were confidential, some were top secret, really sensitive subjects that he had in his basement. To his side of the story, Trump said, I declassified all those. I don't know if he did or he didn't. He has the authority to do so. But all of that aside, the affidavit is what you want to see, as I said from the beginning. Based on what evidence, what information led them to go in and carry out this raid? And when we had the state-controlled media beginning to throw around the words like, well, there might be some nuclear information contained, and everybody's whispering, could it be the nuclear codes? Oh, my God, he can't have it. They change on a repeated basis. He does not have those, even if he had them when he walked out of the White House. With the change of administration, the codes change, and they change often. And if he had anything that dangerous or suspected to be, why did Merrick Garland wait 3 weeks after the search warrant was granted? See, there are a lot of questions I still want answered, and I don't think this redacted piece that they're going to file, and the judge is not giving them until, again, this Thursday at noon to tell me why these things need to be and show me what you're going to release and what you're redacting, and I may or may not agree or take additional redactions or remove some of yours. And if they don't like the ruling, then they will appeal, and they'll drag it out. Now, my guest in the last hour, if you missed it, I always encourage you to pull up a podcast if you missed one. John Malcolm with the Heritage Foundation suggested, I'm pretty sure we'll have some final look at the affidavit, as least at what we're going to get, before the midterm election. You know what's going on in the back of my mind? Riddle me this. Is it the same for you? when the New York Post came out with a Hunter laptop from hell, and everybody was denying that it existed, even the FBI said, oh, it's Russian collusion. National Public Radio, which gets public money, says, we don't do stories like that. We want to deal with real facts. Only 18 months or so after the election did the New York Times admit it's real. Are we going to then see, well, maybe not 18 months after this midterm, because that'd be right on top of the presidential election, will we ever see what they're going to try to redact and keep from us? They claim that, well, that might affect an ongoing investigation. Investigation of what? At least tell us that. Tell us what you're trying to still investigate. The people that are under scrutiny, they already know it. Are you kidding me? Of course they know they're being watched and everything has already been presented. Now, Adam Schiff had also said that, I want a damage assessment and a classified briefing from the Intel Committee. Let me tell you something. If you tell anything, Adam Schiff, as a classified Intel briefing, you watch how fast it gets leaked. We've already seen material leaked from the FBI to the New York Times and other state-controlled media. But anyway, Schiff had said, I want a full damage assessment regarding the raid, the search warrant. So he was asked over the weekend on CNN, have you seen anything back? Do you have any concerns about the potential for this precedent and possibly being abused? And what do you know as far as a damage assessment?
We haven't received a damage assessment yet. I assume that is being undertaken, and I have every expectation that it will be shared with us. So I look forward to that. We would also, I think, as a committee, like to see what documents that were marked top secret SCI were in the president's possession at Mar-a-Lago. This is very serious business. When documents have those markings, it generally indicates that the source of information is very sensitive, and if the document itself were revealed, it could jeopardize that source. And it might be a human source or a technical source, but you would not only expose the information in the document, you would lose any future intelligence you might gain from the same source. So very serious business, and we want to get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, very serious business. We'd like to get to the bottom of it. And do you remember during the Adam Schiff Intel briefings with members of the Intel Department, they would go testify under oath and in secrecy about Russian collusion against Trump? And remember the former 53 Intel officers who signed off on a letter saying it's Russian collusion? And they didn't know anything other than what someone else had told them. And then how many times did Clapper, formerly of the CIA, and others come on CNN and say, listen, I can't tell you what I said in the meeting because it's supposed to be confidential and just a special intel report to members of Congress, but I can tell you it's bad. It's really, really bad. And others would come out and say the same thing. Oh, it's going to, it's... They stopped short of just saying Trump is going to be buried under this. And then when the transcripts were finally released of what they said, they were basically saying, I don't know. I don't know anything that I don't know what to say. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't. In other words, they had nothing. They were not going to lie to the House Intel Committee or Senate committees because that'd be perjury. They can lie to you, the American public. That's not perjury. That's just standard operating procedure. If you want a damage assessment, I say let's start by looking at giving a damage assessment of the Biden administration and where we stand as a nation right now. What we've gone through. Everything from inflation, becoming energy dependent upon others again, threats to our national security. Therein is probably one of the bigger ones that concerns me, and it should you as well. And it's pretty easy to do that you could get some control of that by shutting down the border. But Congressman Tony Gonzalez of Texas said, if you're expecting, and of course he's a Republican, if you're expecting things to be better, if you thought they might be,
Just when you think that it can't get any worse, it does. And the bottom, we can't seem to have found the bottom. And while the Biden administration is playing games and is saying that they're doing one thing, their actions show a complete another. And, you know, in San Antonio, it's about 2.5 hours from Eagle Pass. They opened up a migrant center a few weeks ago. And as soon as this migrant center opened up, it was at max capacity like other places. And people around the city have started to complain. So Mayorkas is going to be making a trip to San Antonio later this week. And what he's going to find out is this migrant center is ran by the San Antonio Fire Department. So anytime you open up these centers, the community loses, right? These firefighters would much rather be out in the community, you know, keeping people safe than in these migrant centers all day long.
And if there's a fire bell ring, then they've got to abandon what they were doing and rush to there, and hopefully they can get there in time. The LA Times over the weekend came out with a report that 60,000 illegals have been on the detainee docket since last May. That means they need to face a court and have a ruling if they can be detained, released, or sent back. 60,000, only 150 deported. Congressman Gonzalez reacting to the LA Times article.
I will tell you, House Republicans are committed to ensuring to keep the pressure on. When we win back the House, you're going to see hearings. You're going to see people brought forth. You're going to see a transparency that we haven't seen in this administration. They like to hide the numbers. They like to move things around. Like I said, back on the ranch, you know, back home in the district, you know, you've got communities that are impacted by this. These NGOs, these non-government organizations that used to do a lot of wonderful work with homeless and drug addiction and other areas, suicide prevention, they're all sucked up into this migrant crisis as well. So our communities are losing now. Now we're having firefighters in these migrant centers, operating these migrant centers. When is it going to stop?
It's not going to stop until you have a change of this administration. When we come back, Congressman Gonzalez, on if the GOP gets control of the House, what will you do?
You know I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, bass.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
We'll push for Remain in Mexico. That's a policy that worked. We will push to keep Title 42 around until there is an alternative. That's another area that is working. And ultimately, repatriation flights. These are people that do not qualify for asylum that are returned back to their country of origin. You do these things coupled with some others, like technology, add technology to the border, more boots on the ground. All of this it can go away if you put the resources towards it. House Republicans are certainly committed to it, but we have to educate ourselves. That's why I've been hosting all these delegations at the border.
That is Congressman Gonzalez of Texas talking about what Republicans will do if they get control of the House again. Do you hear that? Do you hear that it means that we will once again shut down the border, that we will actually begin to do what the country is supposed to be doing and what Biden is failing to do, and that is protect this nation? And while the questions are swirling around what the FBI did in the raid of the Trump home, and of course the other issues involving the FBI, lying to get FISA warrants when they knew they were relying on either faulty or incomplete or fake information, the loss of the trust is in the government is obviously not just in the FBI. And it's such a smear mark against good government employees who are doing the best they can, not just with the instructions they've been given, but are doing what their job requires. Thank God there's some of those whistleblowers inside the FBI that are talking to Senator Grassley and Johnson right now that supposedly will help blow a lot of this up and identify and rat out. And yeah, I use a term, you could use that as well, to get those FBI agents that are not defending our Constitution out of the way. But I'm looking at a piece in the Federalist titled, "Not Just the FBI, Institutions Across the Board have forfeited America's trust, and I certainly agree. One of them, of course, they began with the 2007 programs developed to target terrorists quickly, morphed into domestic spying programs. The NSA began capturing and monitoring Americans' electronic communications and metadata. Clapper denied we're doing it. So did John Brennan. They lied to Congress. Did anybody get hit with perjury charges on that when it became public? No. Never charged. In fact, no one who is authorizing the program ever held accountable. In 2012, then-Attorney General Eric Holder refused to provide information to Congress on the government's Fast and Furious program. Remember where we were basically taking guns across the border and selling them in Mexico, trying to track down Mexican cartels. But the guns, in turn, were used against Americans, possibly here in the U.S., and certainly against a U.S. Border Patrol agent. But he lied about it. In 2013, the IRS admitted, yeah, we did target conservative groups. Remember, Lois Lerner deemed that conservative and Tea Party groups were guilty of having the wrong political opinion because they didn't want them to be classified as nonprofits so they could raise money. Liberal groups got a quick pass from the IRS. And then when she got in front of Congress, she pled the fifth, found in contempt of Congress by the House. The Justice Department declined to prosecute her on contempt charges. She decided to retire, collect her pension, never to be held accountable. And then in 2014, revealed that John Brennan, CIA, was monitoring sitting members of the U.S. Senate Intel Committee. But Brennan, nor anyone else, ever held accountable. And, of course, one of the granddaddies of them all, Hillary Clinton in 2015, subpoenaed to preserve her home-brewed email server. Following the subpoena, her email management company wiped the server clean. Employees sent out an email that had subject headline, Hillary Cover-Up Operation Work Ticket Archive Cleanup. That's the way they labeled it. And it's exactly what they did. And then when they did turn files over to the investigators, they gave them half of what they had on the machine. She and her lawyers decided what was worthy of investigation. All of this is in the Federalist right now, talking about it's not just the FBI that's betrayed American trust. Coming up, even Alan Dershowitz says if you stand up for Trump, you better be ready to take what comes at you. And then Brian Stelter says, my last day on CNN, but I should still be here. Stand by.
Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Some car dealers might try to take advantage of you. One quick way to spot it, look at the sticker price. Jay Ackerman told me, especially in these times, he wants to reward the generations of buyers and the new customers. So Ackerman Toyota sells every car at sticker price. No markup. What you see is what you pay. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Don't want to represent Donald Trump because of what happened to me. I wrote a whole book on it, The Price of Principle. After I represented him in front of the Senate, not only did I lose friends, not only did I lose support, I was banned from libraries. My books were banned. I was banned from speaking in synagogues and community centers. An effort was made to cancel me.
That is Alan Dershowitz, former Harvard professor, now a Harvard professor emeritus, talking about because he dared to stand up on behalf of Donald Trump during one of his impeachment hearings and defended him. Then he got basically tarred and feathered and banned. A Jewish lawyer, famed attorney, being banned from his synagogue speaking at various synagogues simply because he stood beside Donald Trump and said, "This is the law. The man and what he's done here is not a violation of the law." See, the problem is we have so many people out there, they want to just set everything new again. We already know that. I mean, it's just that this just re-emphasized it. I'm looking at a piece right here, if I can find it again, where they're basically the New York Times, here it is, a New York Times op-ed basically saying, let's throw out the broken Constitution and reclaim America. Really? Two Ivy League law professors, obviously, let me see if they're from Harvard. Let me see. One is Harvard, one is Yale. Their essay they presented Friday in the New York Times said the Constitution is broken and should not be reclaimed. Claims when liberals lose in the Supreme Court, they often blame justices for misreading the Constitution, yet in reality, quote, struggling over the Constitution has proved a dead end. Now, you know, again, if it were the other way around, oh, no, no, it's great. Remember Hillary Clinton? Yeah, we're going to go back to that time again. When she lost the election, well, first of all, she didn't think she's going to. In fact, none of the pundits, in all the polls, I had Dr. Gerard Romero, who was alive then, saying, in January of that year, they didn't have the primary candidate selected. He said, Trump's going to win the Republican primary, and he will win the general election. But no one else thought so, or very few, if any. And they didn't dare say it out loud. And when you watched the coverage that night, they were showing all the big boards of the states, this blue state, this is a blue wall, here's another blue wall. Because they were relying upon the electoral votes each of those states had. Remember, they're always tallying the electoral votes. That's the Electoral College. That's how, by Constitution, we elect the president. And yes, if you thought they should not have been holding the electoral process ratifications they did in the Senate on January 6th, you're wrong. That's what the Constitution calls for. Now, you can question how it got there. You can continue doing that, but... And you certainly don't want to riot and cause damage and destruction. But beyond that, that's Constitution. So do you want to throw that out? Because Hillary did. When she lost, she wanted to throw out the Electoral College. She said, now let's go by the popular vote. I won the popular vote. Well, did she really, or how much of that was faked and slam dunk at the last minute? You can't have it both ways. And I call balls and strikes here. And the Constitution is my final arbiter. Now, by the same token, I'm not as skilled as many of these lawyers are, but when I read this nonsense in this New York Times essay, the Constitution is broken, should not be reclaimed. The real need is to not reclaim the Constitution, but instead reclaim America from constitutionalism. And then you get Alan Dershowitz, who sternly believes in the Constitution, and every man has a right to be presumed innocent. Everyone's entitled to a defense. That's what he was doing for Donald Trump. And you see what happened to him. And he said, you know what? There are a lot of lawyers. There are a lot of lawyers out there who want to take some of the cases Trump is now or has faced, but they have to weigh the price of what they would pay, partly based upon what they've seen happen to me. Alan Dershowitz.
And they don't want to be Dershowitz. And that's why, although they would love to take the case, they don't want to suffer the slings and arrows that I have suffered and people who support me have suffered. My wife, my family, my children. A lot of lawyers say, our wives won't let me do it. Our husbands won't let me do it. Our children won't let me do it. It's McCarthyism writ large. It's 21st century McCarthyism from the left. Shame on anybody who in any way attacks lawyers, attacks judges for doing their job. Without judges and lawyers, our Constitution could not survive.
Yeah, but Alan, you're out of touch with times because there's a Harvard professor I know you're a Harvard professor emeritus, but there's a current Harvard professor with the Yale professor says, throw out the Constitution. What we have thrown out is CNN anchor Brian Stelter. He had his final episode of Reliable Sources on Sunday. Here's Brian.
One of the biggest media stories of the week is right here. It's the end of this show. CNN has canceled Reliable Sources. Yes, the longest running program on the network. You know, I love this show. This small but mighty show punched above its weight for so many years. Even a former president commented on the cancellation. Reliable Sources has been a one-of-a-kind show and a popular show. This is one of CNN's highest-rated weekend shows.
Boy, you just can't go without saying, hey, how's the highest-rated weekend show? If the numbers are correct, that's fine. You're allowed to toot your horn. I don't care, but bye-bye. But then Brian Stelter adds, I may be gone, but this is going to be a real loss for humanity, and especially when it comes to teaching news ethics.
You know, the thing about TV is that it's ephemeral, right? It's fleeting. It evaporates up into the air, and a lot of it is not even meant to be, a lot of it's not even meant to be remembered. But this program transcended that. It's a part of journalism school curriculum. Teachers across the country and in other countries outside the U.S., teachers use segments from this show all the time in classrooms, in lessons, guiding and teaching the next generation.
And that's Fright Voice Hell. So for that reason, I'd say it's good it's gone. But if they're using it to show this is what you should not be doing in journalism, then that's good. But if you're saying, watch Brian, he knows that journalism ethics. No, he doesn't. He didn't portray them on that program. Of course, this ouster follows Jeffrey Toobin last week announcing he's going to retire. He could see the writing on the wall. And CNN is claiming under its new leadership that they're going to be definitely taking a new direction. New CEO and chairman Chris Licht. So far, nobody beyond Brian Stelter, Jeffrey Toobin. Some left-leaning CNN fans have now going after Lick and CNN, calling for a boycott of CNN. That's right, leftists calling for a boycott of CNN, saying I'm watching MSNBC exclusively now. Because they say CNN and NNN has sold out to the Republicans. Speaking of others, at CNN would be Don Lemon Fruitcake. I refer to that again as not as sexual preference, but that he's nutty. And Jim Acosta, who was a big thing when Trump was in office and then had to get off the White House beat when Biden came in because he was not going to go after Biden like he did Trump. You knew that. Gets his own show. That's not working out very well, by the way. But they're trying to decide what's going to happen and when. But supposedly, Lake has said, we're still working on it. They may or may not drop him. What about Jake Tapper, Wolf Blitzer, Aaron Burnett, so forth? They're on the, quote, news programs. Not have their own program, but on news programs. And even the news content itself, how much of that's still going to be slanted? CEO, Chairman Chris Lick, this is Larry Connors. You need to have me anchor part of your program from the Midwest to show that you're getting out of the East and you're going to get some good, solid reporting and even evaluation of ethics journalism. And if someone is wrong, including me, I'll state it. I'm open for the JOB. Bad chance. Then we got the story of a father who took a picture of his child and is accused of pornography.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Rottner Pest Solutions is one of the top pest control companies in the nation, and yet still family owned for three generations, 65 years. Rottner customers still get personal, professional, safe service. I personally encourage you to call. Get a free quote. Schedule same day, next day, or a Saturday. 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, or go to rottler.com.
Well, I started out with $1 gambled with a man and I won me another. Bought me a gun and I robbed my brother. I'm bad, but I don't care, boys. Gonna be a millionaire.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So the Wisconsin school board voted in favor of a policy banning gay pride flags and Black Lives Matter flags from classrooms. School leaders say it's political messaging. That's great. This is in Wisconsin. The school board, the Kettle Moraine School Board, voting in favor of keeping a code of conduct in place that bans teachers from displaying political, religious messages in classrooms. Gay pride flags, BLM flags, we back the badge signs also come out. It also includes banning teachers from including their preferred pronouns in email signatures. The vote was on the packed room last week. Students and community members sounding off on the measure. One student told the board, "I'm not controversial. I'm not political. I'm a person." Another student said, "The fact is, majority of students don't want or need this. So catering to the minority only encourages the envelope to be pushed further." I'm glad that they've actually done this. Now, the problem is that someone asked, "Well, can you have up a sign, support our troops, believe women, save the planet?" And, of course, then they're using that as a guise that maybe we need to have it back again. You take it away, then you're taking whatever. What about the U.S. flag? It doesn't say in here. I know you're thinking about that. I'm looking for it, too. I'm trying to see if they're banning the U.S. flag from the classrooms, or if they ever were in there. But what they are doing is banning gay pride, Black Lives Matter, and other political messaging, which would include we back the badge. But I don't see anything in here referencing if they're going to allow the U.S. flag. But again, those who feel like they've been targeted, in fact, one of them in particular, an attorney of the Civil Liberties Union, said it really looks like targeted attacks at specific viewpoints like LGBT communities are welcome and safe spaces to students of color. What if you're a student of color, his father is a police officer? So, during COVID, we had a lot of conditions of lockdown, as you well know. The New York Times came out with a story of a man they identified only as Mark, preserving his and his family's anonymity. During the pandemic, telemedicine options were presented, consulting patients, you know, via video calls, things of that nature, and photos. Well, his son appeared to be suffering something that was swelling his genitals and very painful to him. He called the nurse at their health care provider, was provided an emergency consultation by video. He was also instructed, send photos of your son's genitals so we can take a closer look that way. He did all that. The doctor quickly diagnosed the issue, gave antibiotics. 2 days later, the kid's great. But also 2 days later, dad gets a notice that your phone has been disabled because of harmful content. You violated Google's policies, might be illegal. He filled out a form requesting a review of the decision, explaining his son's medical issue, but they weren't going to buy it. He quickly found out he lost access to his emails, contact information for friends, former colleagues, documentations of his son's first years of life. Google shut down everything, which meant he had to get a new phone number from another company. He was doing what he was instructed to do by the doctor. And he was not trying to flash his kid. He was trying to give details so they could see it during COVID and examine the boy and come up with something that worked. Sometimes things seem so out of whack to you. They are. They're totally out of whack. And the wackos are trying to squeeze more in. I saw something today. I'd never really taken notice of this before, but riddle me this. Morton has a light salt. It's billed as it cooks the same, bakes the same, measures the same, but has 50% less sodium than regular salt. So they made a light salt. So a tablespoon of Morton's light would be less than a tablespoon of regular salt. Riddle me this. Seriously. Instead of taking that tablespoon of regular salt, could you just take half a tablespoon of the same salt and get your salt reduction if that's what you're after? What a marketing ploy. And folks are apparently buying it up. That's great. Want the Morton's Light Salt. Rather than taking, instead of adding as much salt as I normally do, maybe add half as much? Wacko. Let me remind you, you're listening right now to one of our rebroadcasts of our programs, maybe, or maybe you're listening live, as you are right now. Larry Connors USA airs Monday through Friday from 1 to 3, exclusively on KXEN 1010 AM and 100.7 FM. That's where you find us, KXEN 1010 AM, 100.7 FM. Larry Connors USA, Monday through Friday. If you hear only one program, you're hearing only one out of five each week. Get more details at LarryConnorsUSA.com. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.